Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 79, Injury Prevention. Recently, several listeners have asked me to do an episode about injury prevention. In the next several episodes, my topics will be youth running, seniors running, overtraining, cross-training, and the reopening or grand reopening of the Mojo for Running training programs. Two of those programs have been open for a long time, but I postponed the next two because I decided to change some things. The content is exactly the same, but the way people will pay for it and what they will have access to will be different. So I'll be talking about that in the next episode or some episode in the near future. I'm working on that right now. If you have any input or questions for the topics I've just mentioned that are coming ahead, or if you have any suggestions or questions on anything, please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and message me there, or send an email to deb@mojoforrunning.com. And I hope you've all had a chance to go to the mojoforrunning.com website and visit the special page I made for Father's Day dedicated to fathers who run with their kids or fathers who run with their fathers. So please go by there and check that out. Now, to today's topic, injury prevention. No matter your running goals, whether you're training for your first 5K or your first ultra, avoiding injuries is essential to your success, right? But can you avoid injury? Is it realistic to expect to never get injured? Probably not, and I think you know that. But with common sense, you can keep injuries to a minimum and enjoy a long running career. Running will keep your heart strong, your muscles and limbs nimble, and your brain happy and healthy as well. That means that even if you do suffer the occasional injury, running will still have a huge impact on the long-term, high quality of your life. There are certainly many more reasons to run than not run. In the last couple of weeks, two older women have been in the news for their amazing running feats. 92-year-old Harriet Thompson became the oldest woman to finish a marathon, and Gunhild Swanson became the oldest woman to finish the Western States 100-mile race. Both events received quite a bit of attention from both runners and non-runners. I'm sure both of those runners have endured their share of injuries. It's all about tenacity. However, with wise training and racing, hopefully, they haven't had to endure too many. Thankfully, the great majority of running injuries are relatively minor, from blisters, which can be very painful, to IT band, to shin splints, stress fractures, plantar fasciitis, and runner's knee. Almost every one of those will be improved with time, and almost 100% will eventually be completely healed, sometimes leaving you stronger than before, leaving the runner much healthier than non-runners their same age. Thank goodness the sport of running is not like football, any other contact sport for that matter. We don't have to worry about someone crashing into us. And while I'm a huge fan of team sports, for us, a huge advantage is that we're in complete control. We can stop running at any point during any race, and we can take a day off or a few days off whenever we want. We don't have to worry about letting the team down. That's right. When it comes to running, you are the boss. Did you ever hear kids say that to each other? You're not the boss of me. Well, that's true for runners. No one can make you run or keep you from running. It's all on your shoulders. And that's good and bad. When you make a training mistake and that causes an injury, it's on all of us, right? I've done it myself. But we also have the advantage of being able to take off a day or so or two or three if we feel pain or if we just feel tired. That's incredibly hard to do sometimes, but it's also critical. Some people remark at how amazed they are that some runners, people like me, can run for decades without becoming crippled. I'm finishing my fourth decade of running, 39 years, and nothing hurts when I run. But that doesn't mean I haven't suffered injuries. Let's see. I've had two stress fractures, a torn rotator cuff, that was from a fall on a trail run, two bouts of plantar fasciitis, a broken arm, also from a fall, One bout with IT band inflammation, and the injury that cost me the most training time was never diagnosed, but it was an issue at the base of my big toe. That was the result of a soft tissue injury when I was doing yard work. It prevented me from running for most of a year. The initial injury wasn't that bad, but I stubbornly ran 9 miles while defying and denying the pain the very next day. That may just be the dumbest thing I ever did as regards running. That was about 20 years ago, so I'm going to blame it on being young and foolish. Yep, that's it. Young and foolish. The two stress fractures came within 9 months of each other, and neither was caused by excessive mileage, which is a good thing. One day I'll do a whole podcast about stress fractures, and I'll tell you the whole story when I do that podcast about how I managed to get two stress fractures 9 months apart. But just let me say, that was a bad year as it came to running. The point is that I recovered fully from every injury. I have zero knee pain at age 61, and I run anywhere from, yes, some weeks are as low as 25 miles, and some are 50. I don't have any pain anywhere, though. Now, I'm not saying I never do. Sometimes I do. Now, I know part of that is probably good fortune, but it certainly makes the point that running doesn't ruin your knees, or any other parts of your body. There have been studies that prove this. Of course, running can damage your knees. You can damage your knees and other joints, etc., if you don't train carefully and follow the guidelines below. Many people who can't run due to knee pain actually injured their knees playing other sports years ago. And I'm willing to admit that some people do have knee pain because their natural gait or some physiological issue because of some gait issue or physiological issue over which they have no control. Fortunately, those cases are extremely rare. Many times an injury is not caused by running. It might have actually been precipitated by something you did while working in the yard or cross-training. That means you need to be smart all the time and realize that any injury of any kind will likely be made worse by running. The other day, I had to cut my run short because of a nagging discomfort in my lower right leg. I know what caused it. I had bought a new bike. And when I was out riding it the first time, I struggled to get my shoe out of the clip. Now, I had practiced several times before leaving home, and all was fine. But when I was out riding, when I went to get out of the clip, it didn't unclip. And in an effort to prevent falling, I jerked my foot really hard to get it out of the clip. It worked, but that is what has caused my sore Achilles area. It stopped hurting after a few days of very short runs. No speed work, no hills, no intensity. If I had stuck to my planned workouts for those days, it likely would have prolonged recovery or become a more serious injury. Anyway, it's fine now. You get my drift. It's actually ironic that sometimes, often, people get injured doing cross-training, such as biking or strength training. But, on the other hand, injury prevention is one of the best reasons to cross-train or strength train. But I'll get to that in a few minutes. Here are, in a nutshell, my 7 best pieces of advice for how to prevent injuries. Number 1 is listen to your body. This seems so easy, but everyone seems to struggle with it. When something hurts, is it really an injury, or is it something more like a cramp? Will it go away if I run through it? Or will it make the injury worse? If I'm just feeling tired, maybe it's in my head. Maybe I just don't feel like running today. Doesn't it need to be difficult? Don't I need to be working hard to be improving? Well, of course, if you're doing speed work, it should be a challenge. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about feeling a pain, either when you run or after you run. A friend the other day told me she had a pain that didn't bother her when she ran, so she continued to run. For 9 months, that was happening, all the time with the pain worsening, but it only hurt when she was not running. Finally, it got to where she was literally dragging one leg. That was the point when she realized she'd better do something, because it was affecting all of her life. She stopped running, and guess what? The pain immediately, drastically improved. Now, I won't go into the whole story and the diagnosis, lest I get some of the details wrong, but please don't wait months to find out what's wrong. And when you have any kind of a pain, even if it doesn't hurt when you run, try taking some time off of running and see if that helps with the pain. Sometimes, virtually always, you have to do some pre-diagnosis on your own, right? Things like that. There's nothing she could have lost by taking a few days off of running early on to see if it helped with the pain. And she might not have had that pain for 9 months if she'd done that early on. Usually, that will mean, at the very least, that you'll make the problem worse and end up missing more running when you do stop. And at worst, you could do permanent harm that might keep you from continuing your running career. My advice is to have the guts to listen to your body. It's that simple. And have the guts to at least take several days off. If when you then return to running, it feels much better, you know that running was making it worse. Often after even a couple of days off, the problem will be gone. If it's much better, but still nagging, take a couple more days off. I know you hate doing that, but sometimes that's required. More than once, I've seen new runners post on our Facebook wall that they have a pain in their shin, and they say they're trying to be tough and not give in to the pain. That sends shivers up my spine. It seems like a great recipe for a stress fracture. A more experienced runner would know to back off. Too many people still believe in the no pain, no gain mantra, or they think all serious runners believe in running through the pain. Maybe that's understandable if you're in the Olympic trials and this is your big chance of a lifetime opportunity and you won't have another chance for 4 years. If that was me, and I knew that running through the pain wouldn't be life-threatening and wouldn't cripple me, then I'd probably go for it too. But a race like that is the pinnacle of a running career, and nothing like most of our experiences. Number two, rest and recover. The research is clear on this, and we get more of it all the time. More rest reduces the incidence of injury. You become a stronger runner by placing more stress on your body. But if you don't give your body time to rest, time to rebuild by resting it, which is when it does get stronger, then you'll end up missing the opportunity for greater fitness, and instead, that stress will result in injury. The harder you train when you do train hard, which I hope is not more than 20% of your miles, the more critical your recovery is. What should you do for recovery? Well, some type of active recovery is good. This could be walking, a gentle, very gentle bike ride, rollerblading, swimming, or any number of other things. However, I do believe that many people make the mistake of working at too intense a level when they cross-train on recovery days. If you do that, you're shooting yourself in the foot, because when you do that, you destroy the whole recovery. Sure, some of the muscles are different, but certainly not all of them. It's okay to work hard at cross-training, don't get me wrong, but that hard cross-training should not be on a recovery day. And that's a common mistake. It is absolutely essential that you really, seriously allow yourself 24 hours of only easy activity several times a week, at least a couple times a week. And your running should be 20% hard, 80% easy. Active recovery just means that you're moving around. That's good. Even the day after a marathon, it's good to walk. But you're doing it for the benefit of moving. Take it easy, or it's not recovery. Number three, cross-train. It used to be that the experts in running research believed that you needed to run to be a better runner. Only run, and nothing else. Now we know that you'll perform better and experience fewer injuries and stay healthier if you cross-train. When you strengthen your muscles, that takes stress off your joints by providing stability and strength. And that lays the foundation that enables you to run with better form. Additionally, if you do the right cross-training, it can help you eliminate muscle imbalances, which often lead to injury. For example, when you do strength training, you should do exercises that work each leg independently. That's a way to help prevent or guard against injuries. The right cross training also will help you with balance, and balance will help you in many ways with your running form. Number four, running with good form will reduce injuries. Altering your form may completely eliminate a pain and will greatly reduce the likelihood of injury because it reduces stress on your body. Here's a quick running form checklist. We've been over it before, so it'll be really quick. Keep your head high. Don't let it jut forward from your shoulders. And look forward down the road, not down in front of your feet. Keep your chest high. Think of a string attached to the top of your head that pulls up, keeping your head high, lifting up your head, and allowing your chest to be high to make it easy for you to breathe. Shoulders back, arms bent at 90-degree angles or a little less. Pulling your arms back from the elbow and then allowing them to swing forward comfortably, but not too far. They shouldn't cross the central line at your sternum. Hands should be held in a loose fist with the thumbs on top. High cadence at all speeds. Feet striking the ground under your center of gravity with knees bent. Body leaning slightly forward. Number five, train wisely. Follow the running principles I've so often talked about. To avoid training hard on back-to-back days, to follow the 80-20 rule, 80% of your running at conversational pace and 20% harder, and including one longer run every week or so. Training wisely may be the single best way to prevent injury. It's also, just as an aside, the best way to get faster. That's for another episode, but I will say that training incorrectly often results in overtraining and detraining. Number six, fix your body. Whether it's by going to a chiropractor, a rolfer, a physical therapist, a massage therapist, doing yoga, doing Pilates, there are many, many experts who can help you with this. Seek them out. And I highly recommend, if you can afford it, to use a lot of different experts. You should have a cadre of people that help you. Let's say you fall down. You get up and you think you're fine. You feel fine. But very often you've shifted something, and a visit to the chiropractor can be a really good way to prevent you from getting hurt down the road because of something you did with the fall where you don't realize you've changed something in your body. The more miles you do, the more important it is that your body is structurally sound. Over the years, your body can get pretty distorted due to gravity, due to time spent sitting, and due to any number of minor and sometimes not so minor injuries and trauma. Have you ever seen someone who walked with a tilt or twist? As I was on my run yesterday, we ran past a man who was, he was running in the street, we were on the sidewalk, and he had a very distinct list to the side. His whole body was twisted to the right from his waist up. And I kept thinking, I am sure if he went to a rolfer, a chiropractor, and a massage therapist, he could fix that. Or maybe it would be a physical therapist. Yoga would probably help him a lot. But first he needs to get it fixed so he could stand up straight. And then he needs to do work on form and work on strength building to strengthen the right muscle so that he can keep his body running straight. I looked at him and it was almost painful to watch. People can walk like that for years, but when you run, body issues that wouldn't ordinarily cause problems quickly become evident, sometimes causing pain and often causing injuries. Better to get things like that fixed sooner rather than later. Many people experience a slight injury and alter their gait or form as a result. This altered gait is often so slight as to be imperceptible to the runner. However, trained professionals will always notice the fault. And if you have a sharp coach, especially a coach who's accustomed to watching you run, she may catch the change the very next time she sees you run. Even a very small accommodation to take stress off the injured area is enough to cause an injury to a different body part. And that secondary injury may well turn out to be more serious than the original injury. Ignore that secondary injury, and guess what? Pretty soon something else will be hurting. This can be something minor, but you cannot let this just continue. You have to fix it. Maybe you move into a new house and wrench your back. You can barely move the day after the move. By the next day, you feel fine, but you don't realize that you're a bit twisted now when you run, and you're not running with your normal gait. You suddenly experience a pain, but since the pain isn't in your back, it never occurs to you that this injury was actually caused by the back injury. Or maybe you twist your ankle. You get x-rays, and it's not broken. You limp around for a few days. When you go back to running, you favor that foot. Uh-oh. This is a recipe for disaster. For this reason, pay very close attention to any injury, even one that's not related to running, because it almost certainly will affect your running. Number 7, eat well. The 80-20 rule is a good idea here, too. There are several good ways to eat. Many. Vegan, paleo, high-fat, low-carb, high-fiber, low-carb, high carb, I don't know, there's all kinds. I could go on and on. Seriously, there are many diets that will work. But we all know that sugar, processed foods, chemicals, preservatives, added hormones, and antibiotics are all bad for you. The most important thing is to eat real food that we all know is good for you. Food that includes plenty of vegetables in a wide variety of colors. Basically, eat clean most of the time. The cleaner you eat, the healthier you'll be. If you want your body at its peak health, then certainly you need to pay attention to what you put into it. We know now, more surely than ever, that you really are what you eat. Some people think if they just run enough, they can eat whatever they want. That's just not realistic, and it's certainly unwise. In fact, no amount of running will make up for a poor diet. Look at your macronutrient proportions. What works best for one may not work well for another, but everyone must consume enough protein, carbs, and healthy fat. Don't ignore any of these. Pay attention to your gut health, too. More and more research is proving that you need to look at the big picture. Just like getting plenty of rest, eating well will play a huge role in keeping you healthy. If you're a runner, the more miles you're running, the more important it is to make sure you're getting all of your vitamins and minerals. If you're too thin, and this is a problem for some runners for sure, you're destined to suffer more injuries. If you're overweight, you put much more stress on your joints. Running, of course, will help you lose weight, but you need to eat a healthy diet and not rely solely on running, because running alone is not sufficient. No one should try to lose weight just by running. If that's you, just be patient. You'll need to progress more slowly because added weight puts more stress on you. But that's okay, right? You are still moving towards your goal, and that is what counts. If you get injured, it will definitely take you longer to reach that goal. So be smart and eat smart. Now, all that said, just remember, if you run long enough, you're pretty much assured of an injury from time to time. The very toughest part of running, and I've said this before, is not actually running. By that I mean it's not running due to an injury. Taking time off is harder than running. Non-runners don't get that, but I know you do. Just keep that in mind next time an injury does keep you from running. Remind yourself that it's part of the sport and that it's a part of all sports. You just have to deal with it. That's not easy, but we all have to do it. If you train wisely, your injuries will be few and far between. Now I want to thank everyone who has been coming to the Facebook page. I'm getting more and more comments, and I love that. Also, in honor of Father's Day, I want to remind you again that I posted a group of photos of listeners with their kids or parents. To those of you who sent those photos, thank you. Be sure to go to the mojoforrunning.com Facebook page and check those out. Here's today's quote. Always do your best. What you plant now, you will harvest later. That's from Og Mandino. That certainly applies to injury prevention. Do the right things on a daily basis, and you will seldom have to deal with an injury.